up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice. Rob, Pete, and Waiver Wire James go through the best players to pick up on the wire. A peek at the week ahead. Teams to target. A few DFS plays. A couple of best bets. And some season-long advice every fantasy player needs to know. Stand by.
Happy Monday, everybody. Jensen and Reese coming at you on this November 4th, breaking down some fantasy hockey line changes and waiver wire pickups on this Monday morning.
I'm feeling good today, boys. I'm another year older today, so definitely a little bit wiser, and hopefully the bountiful year of picks and cash in my pocket.
Wow, I did not know that. So we basically, we set up, we chatted. I didn't know it was your birthday. This is the first time I'm finding out. Happy birthday, Robbie.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, man.
You look good for 35.
Oh, God. I'm not there yet. Not even close. But, yeah, physically, I'm starting to feel that way, Bobby.
Well, so you got some momentum riding on these picks for the week, and you have hope you have a great night, man.
Yeah, I'm on. I'm riding a small hottie now after a full month of bad picks in October. Small 2-0 victory on the weekend.
Is there any Japanese whiskey in your future this evening? And if so, what are we looking at here?
The rivers of whiskey will be flowing, as always, like the salmon of Capistrano. Shout out to Dumb and Dumber there. But yeah, no, I'm feeling good today, boys, and definitely a lot of action to break down.
And it was an interesting weekend with the picks and stuff, right? Like, I hope your date went better than that over pick that I think Davey had for the Ducks and Jets, right, the other night.
Yeah, that was bizarre. I think now, after watching the Ducks for a full month, I wouldn't be picking the over in any of those games just because of John Gibson alone.
Or no, you know, it was Ducks Canucks, right?
Oh, that was even worse. It was 2-1, wasn't it?
And OT. I had a couple of those Canucks, and Quinn Hughes got injured, got banged up. The DFS lineup didn't look too good after that one.
Oh, and funny note from that game, too, the Quinn Hughes injury. Well, this is not funny, but it's not that serious. Apparently, it's day-to-day. And, you know, I'm going to have to throw Dr. Greewall on Twitter here under the bus, because right after the toe pick incident with Quinn Hughes, he tweeted out, wow, this is looking like a four-week absence. Well, the Canucks came out and said he's probably only missing another game or two. So maybe another year of med school for Dr. Greewall.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that he's wrong, because Quinn Hughes has been really valuable for fantasy. I also saw Patrick Laine came back, had an assist and seven shots. Also, Evgeny Malkin came back, and I think we could expect JT91 sometime this week for the Leafs.
As everybody's getting healthy, this is the time to hit the waiver wire, and who better to break it all down for us than our good friend, Waiver Wire James. He writes the top 10 waiver wire article for NHL.com/fantasy. James, how was your weekend, man?
It was pretty good, guys. Yeah, you know, I had some post-Halloween stuff. Got some writing done for the website. So, pretty solid weekend overall.
Good stuff. We appreciate that. I actually took action because of your column this morning in one of my leagues. It's a weekly league. I saw the Rangers have four games this week, and I picked up Ryan Strom because he's playing exceptionally well in the absence of Zibanejad. And even if Zibanejad comes back this week, like I saw Zibanejad was skating, I don't really care. I mean, he could still play with Panarin here.
Yes, yeah, Strom actually had been playing with Artemi Panarin before the injury to Mika Zibanejad. It's just since Zibanejad has missed the last few games, that line has been elevated to the top line. But when you look at what Strom has done recently, he's starting to really round into form. He's got a now, six-game point streak. He had a goal against the Nashville Predators over the weekend. He had a goal against Tampa Bay earlier last week. Three of his six games in his six-game point streak right now have been multi-point games. Wow. So he's really starting to take that little bit of that step forward, playing with a playmaker like Artemi Panarin. So I really like where they are right now. And again, you mentioned the four games that they have coming up this week. They play tonight against Ottawa. Then they play against Detroit, so two favorable matchups to start the week. They play at Carolina, so a little bit of a tricky one there. But then they finish with Florida, who is very up and down this season. So, yeah, I'm very high on jumping on Ryan Strom right now, especially if he's going to stay with Artemi Panarin for the time being.
The hottest team in the NHL is the New York Islanders, and a player on the list here is Derek Brassard, center, left wing. Tell us why we should pick up Derek Brassard in season-long leagues.
Five-game goal-scoring streak right now, dual-eligible, starting to shoot the puck. He started the season very, very slow, was in their bottom six, Now with the injuries that the Islanders have had, he has moved into that top six, and I think the Islanders are going to do anything that they can to keep him in that lineup placement as long as he's being productive. He's seeing time on the power play with Anders Lee. He's playing on the second line right now with Brock Nelson as his center. He has seen time with Lee and Matt Barzal on that first line. So the Islanders are mixing and matching him a little bit, putting him out in the top six in impact situations and obviously on the power play as well. So I just think that where you look at what the Islanders are doing right now, you want to try and jump in the short term on a lot of these guys while they're being productive. We don't know when the return of Jordan Eberle is going to happen, and when that does happen, we don't know how the Islanders are going to shake up that top six. But for right now, every time the puck is on Brassard's stick, he's looking to shoot it and put it on net. And so in the short term, I think his value is very high because all he's trying to do right now is crash the net.
In terms of must-own players right now, there's nobody worth picking up more than Jacob Vrana, who had a hat trick for the Capitals in their big win against the Flames on Sunday. Is Jacob Vrana still a lineup lock, even in shallow leagues? Because the only worry with him is he doesn't get much usage on the power play. But other than that, this guy's been amazing.
Doesn't get much usage on the power play, but he has cashed in as of late. 5-game point streak right now. Obviously, you mentioned the hat trick last night. He had a 2-goal game in their win against the Sabres on Friday night. So 5 goals in his last 2 games. 5-game point streak right now. 3 of those games, multi-point games. He does have 2 power play points in that span as well. So starting to chip the puck in a little bit more on the power play, but he's playing with Evgeny Kuznetsov on that second line. If the Capitals decide to go back to how they had been at the end of last season with Vrana playing with Nick Backstrom and they elevate Kuznetsov back up to that first line with Alexander Ovechkin, I still would say that Vrana is a must-start in all leagues. No matter what, as long as he remains in that top six with exposure to either Backstrom or Kuznetsov at even strength, he's must own. I think he's got a ceiling of about 30 to 35 goals this season. He's second on the team right now in shots on goal, so he's just completely pouring the puck at the net. So absolutely, on any given night, put Jacob Vrana in your lineup.
I agree. I mean, even their even-strength offense occasionally looks like a power play, so no issue with him not being on a special teams unit there. Now, Sami Vatanen leads your list for defenseman, James. What is the staying power on a player like that?
I think the staying power on Vatanen all comes down to what PK Subban does for the rest of the season. If he starts to get going the way that we expect Subban to get going, like we've seen him play in the past, then Vatanen's value is definitely going to take a hit. But when you look at what Vatanen is doing right now, he leads Devils defensemen with 7 points, 17 shots on goal. He leads them with power play points with 3 on the season, 13 hits, 20 block shots. So he's getting a lot of category coverage. He's their point guy on their power play right now. When he is hot, we saw what he used to be able to do with the Anaheim Ducks. If he can continue that level of production here with the Devils, I think he has about a 35 to 45 point ceiling. Mm-hmm. I think Subban probably has a higher point ceiling, but until we really see Subban settle in and take off with the Devils, I'm really high on Vatanen right now. I think they're going to be the 2 most impactful defensemen that the Devils have this season, and it's up for debate right now who's going to be more valuable. Obviously, Subban has the name value, but Vatanen has the stats to back it up.
Vatanen has the leading edge over Subban right now. I expect that to change, though, over the course of the season. It was nice to see Subban get his 100th goal of his career the other day. One guy I would pick up over Vatanen is a guy that is in like the others to consider on your list, Adam Boqvist. Scored his first NHL goal on the power play on Sunday for the Blackhawks. Do you think this guy has a shot to get on the first unit and stay there?
I need to see more. He's only played 2 games, obviously, so far. Did score his first goal last night in their win against the Ducks. 3 shots on goal in that game, so he's shown very well. He's still only averaging about just over 15 and a half minutes a game. So
right.
I want to see more usage out of him. I want to see Chicago put him in more situations. And obviously I want to see him get more opportunity on the ice with some of their big hitters. But I definitely think that he has the potential I'm not jumping on him in standard leagues right now, but in deeper team leagues, those 14, 16 team leagues, even in dynasty and redraft leagues, I'm definitely putting him on my watch list, but I'm not there yet where I'm saying I'm running out and definitely adding him until I see a more expanded body of work and how he responds.
I know it's still early, James, but has Alexander Georgiev for the Rangers shown you that he deserves more starts than Henrik Lundqvist?
100%. With the way that he has played lately, over his last two games, he's shut down two of the best teams in the NHL, allowing one goal against in each game against the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Nashville Predators. He will get the start tonight against the Ottawa Senators, so a very favorable matchup there. 2.27 goals against average, a .933 save percentage right now in his games played this season. And when you look at Henrik Lundqvist and his overall body of work, a 3.58 goals against average this season, a .906 save percentage so far on the season, and dating back to last season, in his last 30 starts, he only has 9 wins. Mm. And so you can start to see Lundqvist is falling behind a little bit. He's not as sharp as he once was. Georgiev, much younger, hungrier, kind of fits where the Rangers are a little bit better right now. And when you see the numbers that he's putting up, if he continues like this, he's going to push that not only to a timeshare, but maybe even to the point where he outstarts Lundqvist this season. I don't know if that's really realistic or not, because we are still talking about Henrik Lundqvist here, but I think you need to treat the Rangers' goaltending situation as a timeshare right now, and that gives Georgiev both standalone value and value if you're a Lundqvist owner to go out and add him as a handcuff.
They've both played 6 games apiece this year, but I have a feeling that Georgiev is going to start playing much more often, especially if he wins Monday night against the Sens. So a couple of streaming options playing in the top 6 right now. There's Connor Garland, there's Joel Farabee, Alexander Volkov, and Denis Gurianov. Is any of those 4 on your list of players that you would pick up over the others?
I'm going with Connor Garland right now. Scored his team-leading 7th goal in their win against the Colorado Avalanche on Saturday. He has 6 points and 18 shots on goal in his past 8 games, and he's been moved onto a line now, a very underrated line in my opinion, with Nick Schmaltz and Clayton Keller, 2 players that we have talked about a lot so far early in the season, guys who need to get going for the Arizona Coyotes to have any chance at the playoffs this season. Garland is looks just like he has a lot more confidence this season. He started to take a step forward last year, and now this season playing with guys like Keller and Schmaltz, I think that he's just going to take that next step forward. He already has 7 goals, as I said, 9 points in 13 games. He only had 18 points in 47 games last season. So I think that if he's given the opportunity in that top 6, he loves to shoot the puck. Every time he has it on his stick, he's always looking to try and create something. So I'm definitely very high on Connor Garland right now, especially if he's able to stick on a line with 2 guys like Schmaltz and Keller.
And they play 4 games this week, James. You know we love talking about games played. So definitely a little bit of extra incentive for Connor Garland there. And thank you, James, as always, for your rock-solid waiver wire advice.
Awesome, guys. Thanks a lot. I'll see you next week.
Thanks again to Waiver Wire James Harding for jumping on the line, as always, on Monday morning.
Go check him out, WWJ.com. I secured the domain for him. Content will be coming out very soon.
What will James do? We'll see. But, no, I think Adam Boqvist was a big one that I mentioned with him. And, you know, after scoring that goal, we actually I threw a comment on the fantasy handle on the Blackhawks after he scored it. And I saw the London Knights responded, and I went back and looked, and he'd scored 20 goals in the OHL last season, Boqvist, as a defenseman for the London Knights, and they were saying to pick him up in fantasy.
Well, hey, if the London Knights said pick him up in fantasy, you got to listen to the London Knights. Their track record is brilliant there with Coach Hunter as head coach. But, no, in all seriousness, Adam Boqvist has a lot of talent, top 10 pick in the draft a couple years ago. And the Blackhawks team, as we all know, they're slow starters the past couple seasons. And when that offense kind of breaks through the cracks, I think he's going to be a fantasy relevant player.
We've seen a pulse here the past two games. I know they got 3 out of a possible 4 points. That's an improvement. And they had the Taves-Kane connection to win the game against the Ducks on Sunday. So you start to see Taves get active. I know we wrote about him the other day when he had, 2 points in his first 11 games. And then he had a couple of points over the weekend.
Anytime you see Pat Kane win it in overtime, you start to feel like the Blackhawks might get on a little bit of a roll. Now, I wouldn't be going and throwing cash on their games just yet, but certainly a trend for all of us to watch.
Yeah, it's exciting for anybody who picked them to make the Stanley Cup playoffs like
we did.
Both of us, yeah. So I actually asked James about those couple of streaming options. I said, like, Gurianov, there's Volkov, who's playing right now, hasn't done much with Stamkos and Kucherov. Joel Farabee. I watched Joel Farabee on Friday against the Devils. He scored a goal to tie the game, and then he almost scored another one to win the game. It got called back from a kicking motion. That was a close call. But Farabee, I guess, on Saturday got a little top-line minutes with Giroux and Voracek. That kid can play, and I would watch his lineup placement very closely.
And I would go with Gurianov here. I think any of the guys that we just listed, it's good to know that they are going to be up and down all season. Mm-hmm. It's just the way that these young players are, very, very streaky. But right. Gurianov, you know, shout out to Mike Kelly on Twitter. He's a great follow. He's an analytics guru, and he praises Gurianov almost every single game. Even the games where he doesn't have a point, he's saying, you know, he did this, he did that, he did this. So I think that's a guy that I just feel a little bit more confident about picking up because his underlying numbers are off the charts.
Yeah, Stars look good over the weekend. They held on for dear life against the Avalanche on Friday night. McKinnon almost won that game single-handedly. But the good thing about Gurianov, he's playing with Roope Hintz and Joe Pavelski, which allows Jim Montgomery to stack his 3 best players on the same line where you know they could be so dangerous, Ben, Sagan, Radulov.
And one trend that we didn't get to talk about with Waiver Wire James is the Boston Bruins' depth scoring seemingly here to stay for the rest of the season now that David Krejci's back in the lineup. If Krejci is available in your league, great, pick him up. Absolutely. I don't even care that he's center only. But for deeper leagues, check Jake DeBrusk. That was a player that was drafted in a lot of leagues and then a quick drop. He was the most dropped player in fantasy hockey this season. Left wing position, exposure to David Krejci, who's probably going to have around 60 points this year. That's a player you have to pick up.
Yeah, David Krejci, I think I mentioned it in one of the previous shows. I picked him up in a league that counts faceoff wins, where I'm not as strong as I wanted to be. One of those leagues where I ignored the center position because there's so much depth, but then an injury here, injury there. David Krejci can shore up your center needs in a hurry. So, yeah, and then for games played this week, I mean, we got Arizona, Boston, who we mentioned. We talked about Garland, talked about DeBrusk, Chicago, Boqvist, Detroit, Edmonton, Mike Smith, and Koskinen both playing very well. Mike Smith had a vintage outing the other day. Devils, Rangers, Ottawa, Philly, you could get Farabee. Toronto, watch out for the Tavares implications. Vancouver and Vegas, all with 4 games apiece.
I just don't understand the schedule this year. I mean, I've never seen that many teams play 4 games in a single week. Like, you can't even get an advantage that way because half the league is playing 4 games.
Well, everybody was trick-or-treating, and there were 2 games on Thursday. So there were, like, all these back-to-backs Friday and Saturday, and now everybody's schedule is loaded up for this week. The only teams to avoid here, Anaheim, Buffalo, Dallas, Tampa Bay. Their only 2 games are in that global series in Sweden against the Sabres, who also have 2 games this week, and Washington. But Washington, the way that offense is clicking right now, I don't care that they only play 2 games, right? You still, if you're in a weekly league, still got a roster, the staples, Backstrom, Vrana, Ovechkin, Oshie, all those type of guys, Kuznetsov,
Carlson, the list goes on
Kempney.
And on and on. Now, the thing with Arizona this week, the 4 games is interesting to me because of their goalie situation. Kemper's playing out of his mind. Great DFS pick any night that he's starting at this point. But for Antti Raanta owners out there that are kind of worrying at this point, I think this is a week where you have to hold the player.
I think I still like Antti Raanta. I think injuries can happen. I think that team is very strong. It's going to be a measuring stick game going up against the Oilers in the Oilers barn when they've been the hottest team, or most surprising team through the first month of the season as we reach that point. But the Coyotes, I like the lines they got going on. They have Barrett Hayton with Phil Kessel and Christian Dvorak. So Kessel will get more out of those two. And then you got a really nice second line with Keller, Schmaltz, and Garland, who James was pumping up.
Agreed. I love their depth scoring this year, and hopefully it stays there too on the back end with Goligoski. That was one of my top waiver wire pickups a couple weeks ago, and he's still producing to this day.
Now, for this game, I mentioned measuring stick. Can the Coyotes pull the upset? Will they pull the upset? What's your pulse on that one at Edmonton?
I like them to shut down the scoring. They just play a tight checking role, and I think they're matched up well for those teams like Edmonton. That's kind of a one-trick pony, if you will. And that's not an insult to Edmonton. The one-trick ponies can play, and they can make the playoffs. But I think that depth scoring we alluded to in the tight checking system is more favorable for an Arizona team to come out with a W.
So now we'll ping pong a couple other players. I saw Patrick Hornquist is on IR for the Penguins, so Brian Rust is going to be on that new second line. But that's how it's always a rotating injury thing for the Penguins, right? Malkin and Galchenyuk finally came back. Now Hornquist is out, so that's the new line, guys that weren't together last week.
And it's funny, Brian Rust and Dominic Simone and those guys, they change lines like five times a game too. So I don't even think the Penguins really have lines outside of Crosby with Gensel and Malkin with Galchenyuk at this point in the season. But I like Pittsburgh with a lot of road appeal against the Boston Bruins tonight. I think the Bruins are due for a little bit of a stinker. So I'd lay down a fatty three stacks on the Pittsburgh Penguins.
A little against the grain in that spot. Pittsburgh over Boston. Boston playing so well. You're going to jump in front of that train. I don't mind it. I think you can get Pittsburgh at a decent underdog price. Let's roll.
And think about just how competitive that team is. I mean, when they do have an injury, and Hornquist is a veteran leader in that locker room. I mean, Sidney Crosby is probably the most competitive guy in the NHL, and he will not be outdone or outshined by the big guns in Boston. So that's where Sid comes up, and he's the gambler's favorite player tonight.
And this is a great matchup when you consider that Krejci's back from injury, Malkin's back from injury, the top two centers for each team going head-to-head gives Pittsburgh maybe a little edge here, stronger centers up the middle.
And to keep ping-ponging some guys, I like Anthony Duclair in this spot for Ottawa tonight. That's a good DFS stream for Ottawa, who, you know, they do have some sneaky value this year. It's not like they're going to score any goals, so Duclair is probably a guy for $3,800 that I have in your lineup.
The Rangers, the line opened -195. I don't think the Rangers, I don't care if they're playing the Ottawa Senators and they're at home, they shouldn't be that big of a favorite in any game.
Remember, they crushed them earlier in the year at Ottawa, but the thing with the Rangers, it's like two games, and everybody's jumping aboard the bandwagon, everybody's waving the flags. I mean, this team is very inconsistent offensively. We hope the Ryan Strome thing will continue, but without Zibanejad, you would expect that this winning streak won't last too long.
That being said, ride the Strome train until the wheels fall off that thing. I mean, that's at $5,200 in DFS. Like, you can't go wrong with a player that hot.
By the way, good seats still available at MSG.
For triple digits, I'll pass.
Well, maybe Philip Hedl's family could jump in those empty seats because he scored a goal the other day. If Zibanejad is out, because I saw Zibanejad was skating with a non-contact sweater, so he might not play in this game. So Philip Hedl, pass or fail for him on a single game basis.
I'm not even ready to have that conversation just yet. He did, I will say, score a very beautiful goal over the weekend, and players that score goals like that obviously have a lot of talent, but not ready to dive down that road just yet. Is there any appeal, Pete, in the Nashville Detroit to get is there any appeal in the Nashville Detroit game tonight?
I think you have to look at the fact that Detroit beat them in Nashville earlier in the year. Detroit has had some showings where maybe they deserved a little bit better. I still think any given night they could stun a team. You look at the fact that Duchesne and Forsberg are back. You expect there to be some goals in that game. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Detroit won like a 5-4 game or a 4-3 game at home against Nashville.
Well, that's true. And, you know, for more gambling picks and DFS picks and all kinds of picks, other sports included, whatever, just hit us up on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at NHL Reese, Pizza NHL Jensen. Bobby is at
Air Checked. And you know what? I'm on the Robbie Reese train. It's his birthday. Give me the Penguins on the road in Boston. I'm jumping in front of the train. Boston due for a stinker. Let's go, Pens.
I like Gino. Let's go.
I like it. Check out the other podcasts in the podcast network, NHL Executive Suite, NHL Draft Class, NHL At the Rink, and Puck Culture with Jackie Redmond. Remember, that's the new kid on the block. So for Reese, Bender, Jensen, we'll talk to you again on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.